WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Bird flu turning up in the cow's milk supply in the U.S.
After fragments of the bird flu virus were found in some milk samples, the FDA says the commercial milk supply is safe in part because of pasteurization, which heats milk to a specific temperature for a period of time. Officials saying even if virus is detected in raw milk, pasteurization is generally expected to eliminate pathogens to a level that does not pose a risk to consumer health.
ABC's Lionel Moise, stomach acid will also destroy the virus. President Biden today signs the $95 billion foreign aid package with money for Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan, and Indo-Pacific allies. The Senate overwhelmingly passed it last night. The United Nations is calling for a clear, transparent, and credible investigation of mass graves uncovered at two major hospitals in Gaza that had been raided by Israeli troops. The UN said there should be international investigators. This is ABC News. In Alaska, a lot of travel is done by airplane. One of those airplanes crashed with no survivors.
Just south of the Fairbanks Airport, Alaska State Troopers say a Douglas DC-4, a World War II era plane, crashed. Dispatchers told responding firefighters
that the aircraft is down. There's a lot of explosions.
The audio from Broadcastify, the FAA says two people were on board the plane. Older planes like the DC-4 are often used in Alaska to get cargo and people into remote airfields.
ABC's Alex Stone. Calls to 911 in Newberry County, South Carolina were flooding in. Reports of sirens, a loud roar, some people even flagging down deputies, all wanting to know what's causing it. The sheriff hit social media to announce it was cicadas, males singing to attract mates after more than a decade being dormant underground. Trillions of cicadas are emerging in the eastern U.S. this month as their 13 and 17-year cycles converge this year. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
It's a polka party, and for good reason. 30 years ago, legislation making the polka our state dance became official in Pulaski.
I think everybody in Pulaski showed up in Zielinski Hall or on the streets because it was a polka day celebration.
That's then-Governor Tommy Thompson who signed the legislation in April 1994. But do you know who got the barrel rolling on the idea in the first place? The Wisconsin Polka Boosters, a class of second graders, or the State Folk Museum? The answer coming up.
It's tradition, it's culture, it's food, it's beer, you know, heritage.
Heritage back to the 1840s when the polka became popular with Europeans and came to America with them. So who started the Make Polka Our State Dance movement? A class of Madison second graders, but the Boosters and Folk Museum supported those efforts. It's a cultural slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Security. Right, having to put in their budgets and their campaign funds and their line items, you know, for their campaigns, a security detail.
Erin Velarde is with the group Vote Run Lead. She's urging party leaders to speak out against political violence. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Bucks lose game two to Indy. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks got out to another early lead, but the Pacers battled back to win 125-108 to even the series at one game apiece. The Pacers defensively got nasty at times. Damian Lillard.
I mean, I think that's natural in the playoffs. Somebody comes in, you lose a game, you got a couple days to sit with it. You probably have practice and film. The coaches get on your ass about it. It's an emphasis, you know, to make these adjustments and to come out and make these changes. You know, this what you got to do to try to win the game. So I think it was a little bit of that.
The Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton, who grew up in Oshkosh, says his brother was called the N-word by someone at Sunday's game. Game three is Friday in Indianapolis, and he says he's looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm expecting it to be unbelievable. No doubt about that. I mean, we've had regular season crowds better than what we've played in these last two games.
Baseball, the Brewers lose to the Pirates 2-1. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly clear skies and lower 30s by sunrise. That means some patchy frost will be possible across the area. Light north winds. Sunshine prevails for Wednesday. Highs in the mid-50s. Wednesday night, mostly clear, dropping to the lower 30s. Right now, it's 37.
Crude and Dom.
Dom and Crude, and you make it the greatest radio show ever. Dom returns to the airwaves Wednesday. No court for Trump, but plenty of politics. Tune in.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6. News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who loves to watch true crime, but only if it's shoplifting, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, a Tuesday edition of Nightlight, broadcasting live all over the great state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network from downtown Green Bay here at WGBW at City Deck Landing. Great to have you with me on this Tuesday night. And Conrad riding shotgun, ready to take your text as always. Am I right?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Yes, and there's been great text activity. Your thumbs have gotten a workout lately, buddy.
Yeah, this just Monday.
Yeah, no kidding. And I'm saying that like you text back. You don't. It's not really your thumbs. You're just processing them,
it's
right?
It's the whole fingers. If I do text back, it's the whole keyboard.
Yeah, okay. So it's you're getting a finger. You have the trimmest fingers in radio.
I think I do.
And that's something that chicks dig in a big way, I'm guessing. We have a fun show for you guys tonight. I'm very excited. My first guest tonight, who will be along at 7:35, is the great John McGivern, host of Main Streets on PBS. John formerly hosted Around the Corner with John McGivern, and he has a new show called, well, not that new, 2 years old now, but Around the Corner ran for about 9 years, so I guess this would still technically be new. He's been on the air for a couple of years with Main Streets, and he is performing here in Green Bay, an evening with John McGivern at the Ashwaubenon Performing Arts Center. That's this Friday. So John will drop by at 7:35 to talk a little bit about his evening here in Green Bay. He has been everywhere in Wisconsin, certainly, but also all around the country. So we'll talk to John. I was a guest on John's show on Around the Corner with John McGivern when the show rolled through Marinette in 2019. And, John interviewed me for a couple minutes about where I live, about Marinette, what I thought about the area. It was a lot of fun. And, he's a very funny guy. And it was fun to crack each other up when the camera wasn't rolling and when the camera was rolling. That was actually one of my last pre-COVID memories because they came to Marinette to screen that episode at UW Green Bay Marinette campus. And COVID like had just started. I thought they were going to cancel the event. Like we were that close to the quarantines and the lockdowns and all that kind of stuff. But it was a really fun night. And then everything went south after that. So that was a nice memory for me to have right before COVID. John will be here at 7:35. Then, this is exciting too, folks. Yacht Rock has swept the country. It's a huge, it's like its own genre now. And typically, they're cover bands. They sing music that has already been recorded, classics that we like, the Doobie Brothers, Billy Ocean, the Beach Boys, and it's called Yacht Rock. And there's several bands now that tour, and we have one of the bands on the show tonight called Yachtly Crew. Well, we have the lead singer from Yachtly Crew called Philly Ocean. It's a lot to remember, all these sort of name puns, but we'll talk to Philly Ocean in a little bit. And they have, unlike a lot of Yacht Rock bands, Yachtly Crew makes their own music too. So we'll showcase some of the music from Yachtly Crew before Philly joins us. And I should say Philly's name. What is Philly's real full name, Conrad? He has a real name, right? Yeah. That's not Philly Ocean. His parents, it's not on his birth certificate, I'm sure.
I mean, that would be awesome.
We have that though, don't we? I thought I just had that right in front of me. I want to make sure I get his name right. But anyway, Philly will be here. Take a memo. Get back to me when you have it. It'll be fun.
And we have an original from them. It's called Sex on the Beach, and we'll play that before shortly before Philly joins us over the phone. So, a fun show. I have to get something off my chest before we start. You know what? No, I'm going to do something. I'm going to start positively. And I want to remind everybody that's tuning in, it's great to have you, obviously. Love when you guys text and call throughout the show. Love when you chime in on whatever it is we're talking about. And I'd like to let everyone know that Nightlight with Pete Schwabe is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. It's a pretty good plan. Check out their website, minocquabrewingcompany.com, to see where you can buy progressive beer and join them for live music, poetry, and progressive politics at their new tap room on 2927 East Washington Avenue in Madison, Wisconsin. That room, I mean, that place looks fantastic. Kirk Bankstad will be here on Thursday night to talk about, we're going to do some remotes from his place in Madison there at the tap room. And that'll be really fun. And he's going to drop by Thursday night to talk a little bit about that, but really great to have Minocqua Brewing Company as a sponsor of Nightlight. Pleasure to be in business with them. Conrad, you know, it wouldn't hurt you to just sponsor the show. Have you thought about it?
The Nightlight with Pete Schwab is sponsored by Conrad Krieger, the producer.
Sponsored by the K-Man. I love it. So I have to get this off my chest. And I want to, and you're welcome to chime in. I am so tired of the phrase grown-ass man. It's stupid. It makes no sense. It's like, I don't mind crass. I'm crass sometimes, but grown-ass man? Where did that come from? And actually, a week ago, I heard a sportscaster, a female sportscaster, say grown-ass woman. She is a grown-ass woman. Why is that a thing? Doesn't make any sense. Let me know what you think. I'd love to hear what people think of this. I hear it all the time now. It's everywhere. Mostly on sports radio.
I've heard it many times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like part of the vernacular in sports broadcasting.
For some reason, it just is.
Well, you can't push him around. He is a grown-ass man. What is he? Has a big ass? It's stupid. We can do better, I hope. Makes no sense. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let me know your thoughts if you want. If you want to weigh in on the grown-ass man controversy, I'd love to hear your thoughts. But our question today has nothing to do with men or asses, be they grown or not. I was reading today, this was fascinating to me. Jerry Seinfeld does not love the final episode of Seinfeld. I don't know if you remember it, but the four main characters, Jerry, Kramer, George, and Elaine, were thrown in jail in a small town because they broke some type of Good Samaritan law. That's how they ended Seinfeld. With the four of them in jail. In a recent article, Jerry said that he felt he was not intimidated is the wrong word, but influenced by the showrunners, the network that said basically that the characters were kind of selfish people and not particularly likable, which I don't totally disagree. I don't disagree with it, but I don't totally agree with it. I thought the characters, we saw a side of them that could be selfish, like everybody has. That's the funny side. And Seinfeld even said himself, the selfishness of people is what's funny. And them getting their agenda, trying to, you know, everything George does, his motivation is for selfish reasons. And it's funny. So they decided to end the last Seinfeld, arguably the best show in the last 50 years, critically speaking and audience speaking, with the four of them in jail because they felt that was an appropriate ending. Jerry Seinfeld says he doesn't love it. And he doesn't believe in regret. But he also sounds like he still thinks about it. This is 26 years later. And it kind of bothers him, which means it bothers him. So he says that the best endings are the ones people talk about are the ending to the show Bob Newhart. No, just Newhart. Sorry. Bob Newhart was a show Bob Newhart had in the 70s. Great show. He was a psychiatrist set in Chicago. Then in the 80s, he had a show called Newhart where he ran an inn. Different character, but still with his name in the title. And he had a different wife and a fun group of characters around him. Probably remember Larry, Daryl, and Daryl. Very funny. That show ended with Bob Newhart waking up back in his apartment from the Bob Newhart show in the 70s. And he looks at Suzanne Pleshette, who played his wife, and says something to the effect, like, I just had a really weird dream. Like, his whole second show is brilliant, brilliant ending, and considered one of the best endings of any TV show ever. Seinfeld says he likes the Mad Men finale, which I've never seen. I only watched the first season of Mad Men. I don't know why I went away from it, because I liked it. But Seinfeld says his favorite is the ending to Mad Men. I thought Cheers had a great ending. Sam just looks at the door. He's got it locked. Someone tries to get in the bar, and he just looks up and he says, I'm sorry, we're closed. That was the last shot of Cheers. Beautiful ending. Perfect way to end it. I agree with Seinfeld. I thought the way they ended Seinfeld with the four characters in jail, it was just sort of an attempt to be like, how jerky can we be? We don't care. They could have just ended with all of them sitting in Jerry's apartment. Yeah, that's what they should have done. They should have listened to me, Conrad.
They should have.
But I kind of understand what Jerry's saying. And I know you don't know the show Seinfeld very well.
Yeah.
But it was kind of unsatisfying. As much as I love the show, I do agree with him. And it sounds like Larry David agrees with him. And they might have something in the works to try to rectify that. So that will be interesting. And that leads me to tonight's question. What is your favorite ending to a show? Doesn't have to be a sitcom. It can be a drama, docuseries, miniseries, whatever. What is the best last episode to a TV show? You can also share the worst if you thought one was terrible. Sopranos. People seem to have a love-hate relationship with that one, too. Some people love it, some people don't. So let me know. This is a good discussion, and I want to hear your thoughts. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Aunt Carla checking in, watching on the stream. Hello, Aunt Carla. People mature in mysterious ways. Grown men, women. Yeah, well, they do. I just don't like the phrase. Grown ass. He's a grown ass man. He's a grown man. Yes, he has an ass. We don't need to call that into play. It's a weird vernacular. Stacy Sue Johnson checking in says, MASH. Yeah, that's the most watched finale, I think, still in TV history, is the last MASH. That's a good one, Stacy. So share your thoughts with us. We'll read your texts when we come back. And we'll have all kinds of fun. John McGivern is here tonight. I'm very excited to have John here. He'll be here at 7:35. And we're going to hear a clip of me and John from the show he previously hosted. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
Monday, you're already late for work. You scramble, putting on pants while brushing your teeth in the dark. And you're starving, starving. But the only thing in the fridge, Friday night's leftovers. Oof. A three-day-old curry beef burrito for breakfast. Big gamble. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin Dells, better odds. We're your can't-miss hotspot for big-time casino fun. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin Dells. Your odds are better here.
Nightline with Pete Schwabe.
In honor of National Cheese Ball Day, what food totally disgusts you? For me, it's anything where cheese is crammed together and soft. Why you would put it all into a ball or a log or a loaf, I don't understand. What about you, Conrad? You got a disgusting food?
I like tuna. It just can't be from in a can. It just has the worst smell of me. I just think it's nasty.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
If you would like to watch us live, go to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe's Facebook page,
or go to Civic Media on YouTube. Now, once again, here is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What is the best last episode to a TV show? You can also share the worst. That is tonight's question. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. And we're talking about, well, that's what we're talking about. And the phrase grown-ass man, which I can't stand. Stacey Sue Johnson says, I can't remember the exact end. Oh, of MASH. Yeah, I don't remember exactly how MASH ended either. I loved the first few years of MASH. I didn't love how political and how preachy it got. They kind of got away from the comedy, and it was just sort of like became Alan Alda's soapbox. It just wasn't as funny. It wasn't as much fun to watch. So I don't remember it either, Stacey, but it still, I think to this day, is the most viewed TV finale in history. Stacey continues saying, Laverne and Shirley, my memory is getting bad. She's just sharing random TV shows now, Conrad. Stacey Sue is, I don't remember Laverne and Shirley either. I watched that for like a season. And I just got kind of down on the whole Happy Days Laverne and Shirley thing. So this is a good one from the from the 707. This is what I love about Nightlight listeners. Sherry from the Northwest Coast in California looked up, or if she made this definition of up, it's brilliant. She says, grown ass, and then in parentheses, not comparable, U.S. slang, vulgar. Grown-up adult, often used in reproach of an adult's immaturity, or conversely, an assertion of maturity. They call it a sport, but to me, it looks like a bunch of grown-ass men running around like children. That's the example of using it in a sentence. Sherry, I love that you did the homework on this. And that sounds about right. That's how it's used. I think it sounds dumb. Just my two cents. Share your favorite finale though with us, Sherry. I would love to hear what Sherry has in mind for her favorite last episode of a TV show. And here's another one from the 814 from Pennsylvania checking in. Nice. Jameson from Pennsylvania says, MASH. Okay. That was said, Parks and Rec as well, as 30 Rock went out very well. So did Friends and The Office, but I would add Chernobyl. Wow. That's a lot. I don't even. Do any of these sound familiar? What was the last Friends? How did they end that? I know. Well, Ross and Rachel got together.
Chandler and Monica had twins.
Right.
Joey was Joey. And Phoebe married Mike. So.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay.
So it ended them going down to the coffee shop for one last coffee.
And that's an, I think that's a great ending. Yeah. I do remember that now.
Because Chandler and Monica were moving.
Right. Yep. That's right. Right. And that's reminiscent of the final Cheers show. In the atmosphere where you grew to love the characters, what made you want to go there and hang out, like in the Cheers bar or Central Perk on Friends. That's a great one, Jameson. And so Parks and Rec, I'm not familiar with that ending or 30 Rock. Love The Office. Great ending. Are you there yet, Conrad?
No.
No. You, like what, season 8 maybe?
The episode I just got done with was Andy's Musical.
Oh, nice.
And Aaron can't make it. It's so funny.
Dude, you are.
He gets so sad.
That is great. I don't know Chernobyl. I'm going to have to look that up on IMDb, never seen during the break. Great text, though. Thank you, Jameson. And then we've got from the 920. Oh, Steve from Florida checking in. Conrad's dad. I was disappointed in the last episode of the Game of Thrones. Yep. And most recently, the miniseries. All the light we cannot see. Yeah, I think you're not alone there, Steve. That's we just talked about that one.
Yeah.
Last week because Game of Thrones, it was the anniversary. A lot of people had issues with that. I didn't at first, but and I will be honest. The texts and the responses we've got have made me rethink that, and now I think it does bother me. It was just such a weird show, and the whole show was such a fantasy. The ending didn't bother me at the time, but it seemed kind of lazy. And I don't know if that's what Seinfeld is saying in regard to the last Seinfeld, if he felt like they could have done better. Anyway, from the 608. Chandler said, where should we go? Wow, that's good memory. Okay, nice.
That's like right when the ending's happening.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember funny. That. Okay, it's so that's great. Funny. In just a few minutes, folks, John McGivern is going to join us. I was a guest on John's show, Around the Corner with John McGivern. It aired on PBS. I want to say it was the most viewed PBS show in America, even though it was only on like three or four states, which should tell you how popular the show is when you can pull those kind of numbers and you're not even on nationwide. He and his crew, producer Lois Maurer, they went all over the state to different cities in Wisconsin, and one of their stops was Marinette. And someone from the show called me and asked me if I would be a guest on the show, and I said, sure. So I gave them a little tour of my house and the community I live in. And it was really fun having John and Lois and the whole crew in Marinette. And John is a really fun guy, very high energy, very positive guy, just a joy to be around. Here is a small clip from Around the Corner with John McGivern, where I was a guest and he was in Marinette.
It looks like we're in the middle of the North Woods, but we're a moment from town.
Yeah.
We're a moment from Marinette.
Well, that's what we like about this. It's quiet, but we also are really close to town. So if you forget the gallon of milk, it's not the better part of your night tracking one down.
What water is that?
This is Green Bay.
That's Green Bay.
You know, you can windsurf. We paddleboard and kayak and all that stuff.
We'd love to take a look at your house. Can we do that?
Yeah, definitely.
Good. Let's
do it.
We can
open absolutely.
Next.
Come on.
Put some clothes on, Mayor. We're coming in. Sometimes you say things on TV, you don't know if they're going to take it out or not. They left that in. I was glad they did because it made John laugh. So he's a very funny guy and a very good guy. He will be here in about 10 minutes, and I'm excited to interview him. We got another text here from Jameson. He says, let's not talk about Dallas, though. People loved it, but it was just a dream. Bob Newhart did that already. That's true. And I don't remember the last Dallas. I wasn't a big Dallas fan, so I didn't watch a whole bunch of it. Steve says, awesome. An ultimate final episode was Breaking Bad. It's Conrad's dad checking in again. That was excellent. Wait, no, I'm getting confused. Do you remember that one, Conrad? Is that the one where Gus Fring?
I actually have never watched it.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Steve, you got to give Conrad a talking to. Was that the one where Gus Fring, Giancarlo Esposito, like half of his face was blown off? No, I remember. Okay, that's the one where Bryan Cranston set up the gun in the living room and he had the whole house rigged. He was not going down without a fight. That was an excellent last episode and consistent with the characters and who he was and who he had become. That was excellent. Aunt Carla checking in says, the Brady Bunch, it never ended. Was that true? Was there no final Brady Bunch? I don't remember that. Did we ever find out, Stacy says, did we ever find out who shot J.R. Ewing? I'm more interested in who shot Mr. Burns. I tend to like the parody more than the actual show. So I don't remember. J.R. Ewing was shot by Kristen, Sue Ellen's sister. That's right. I do remember that. Stacy Sue also says, Gilligan's Island. I don't even remember that. Well, you guys are testing me tonight. I don't know. Did they get off the island? I don't even remember. I don't even remember how long that show was on for. All right. Coming up next on Nightlight, we're talking Yacht Rock in hour two. That'll be fun. But coming up next, one of my favorite TV personalities, John McGivern, is here. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Bird flu turning up in the cow's milk supply in the U.S.
After fragments of the bird flu virus were found in some milk samples, the FDA says the commercial milk supply is safe in part because of pasteurization, which heats milk to a specific temperature for a period of time. Officials saying even if virus is detected in raw milk, pasteurization is generally expected to eliminate pathogens to a level that does not pose a risk to consumer health.
ABC's Lionel Moise, stomach acid will also destroy the virus.
President Biden today signs the $95 billion foreign aid package with money for Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan, and Indo-Pacific allies. The Senate overwhelmingly passed it last night. The United Nations is calling for a clear, transparent, and credible investigation of mass graves uncovered at two major hospitals in Gaza that had been raided by Israeli troops. The UN said there should be international investigators. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The University of Wisconsin in Madison is extending its free bachelor's degrees for many education students for another 2 years. The Wisconsin Teacher Pledge is paid for with private donations. It covers the cost of college for students who promise to stay in Wisconsin and teach school after they graduate. Nearly 800 people have gone through the program since it started in 2020. Vice President Kamala Harris says she came to Wisconsin Monday to remind voters that Donald Trump appointed three of the U.S. Supreme Court justices who helped overturn Roe.
When we think about what is at stake, it is absolutely about freedom.
President Biden's team is shoring up the base in a state where 48,000 Democrats cast uninstructed protest votes in April. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
With the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Quentin Tarantino's Pulp Fiction celebrated its 30th anniversary last weekend in Hollywood. Gathering for the celebration were cast members Samuel L. Jackson, Uma Thurman, Harvey Keitel, and John Travolta. The event was held at Mann's Chinese Theater on Hollywood Boulevard and was part of the TMC Classic Film Festival. The film was released in 1994 and was the follow-up to Tarantino's first film, Reservoir Dogs. Anne Hathaway recently talked about making out with several different actors in front of casting directors to see if there was chemistry. Hathaway said she went along with the antiquated practice in the early 2000s because she didn't want to be considered difficult. She said it was really awkward when the producers made it seem like she should be excited to make out with so many different guys in front of them. Hathaway produced and stars in the new film, The Idea of You, which will be released May 2nd and only makes out with people she wants to these days. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Waba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be sunny and not windy today. We'll get to 54 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the northeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 32. Tomorrow, sunshine, 61. Then on Friday, it'll be cloudy, windy with scattered rain and thunderstorms, 63. Rain and thunderstorms will continue through most of the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
Earl Ingram.
In Wisconsin, parents pay one-third of their income on child care. Think about what we need our income for. Shelter, food, clothing, gas bill, electric bill. And we're talking about one child. This is a crisis. Young families are saddled with what is almost impossible to deal with.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alma Show.
Luke, I'm just going to say it again. The real problem here was that goofy in-season soccer tournament that they had. That threw everything
That's
off.
That's not, what are you talking about? That was December basketball. You just couldn't figure out the rules,
You're exactly
Todd.
Right. There are goofy rules I couldn't figure out. I don't like them.
You would not do well with driving on the left-hand side of the road.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely
you would just start freaking out.
Yeah.
The Todd Alma Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
In her next episode, Maggie addresses all the debauchery coming out of the Trump trial. Sleeping? Farting? What else could happen live?
Weekdays 2 till 4 p.m.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
What is the best last episode to a TV show? What's the worst? Share your thoughts. We've got some great text so far. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC.
We will read more of your texts in just a bit. Right now, I'm very excited to welcome my next guest. I was a guest on his show, and I'm not returning the favor because John has a much higher Q rating than me, so this is just an absolute privilege for me to welcome him to Nightlight. John McGivern from Main Streets on PBS joins us now on Nightlight. Hi, John.
I love that. Hey, Pete, how are you?
Doing great. It's good to see you.
You're returning the favor. Don't lie to those people.
Well, if I can put a butt or two more into the seats of your show this coming Friday, I'm happy to do that for you. Because,
oh, that's great.
Yeah, thanks. It's fun. When I was on Around the Corner, so many people came up to me. I felt like Bono in Marinette, Wisconsin. I couldn't even go to the bathroom, as they say, you know, people coming up because they love you. You are like one of the most beloved TV personalities there is. So how does that
on
feel?
On PBS.
Well, that's something. That's a three-letter network.
We're PBS brothers, you know. The yes. Director. I mean, it's like, and I love the fact that that was our air for a long time.
Yeah, it was a fun show to do, and we still do specials once in a while, but let's talk about you. So now you have a new show. Well, I want to talk about that, but let's talk about your live performance coming up here on Friday night here in Green Bay first. It's An Evening with John McGivern. It's this Friday, April 26th, at the Ashwaubenon Performing Arts Center. What can people expect? What is the evening going to be like?
You know, it's funny because before TV, this is what I did. In 1993, I wrote a show called Midwest Side Stories, and it was all my stories of growing up in Milwaukee, the third born kid of six in an Irish Catholic family. So it's like I was a stage actor, and then they call me a stand-up comedian, which in fact I really wasn't. I was a storyteller, and they'd send me out to clubs, and I'd be like, people were like, he's really not that funny. He's charming, I think, but really not that funny. And his stories are too long. So wow. I think I do a lot better in theaters. So it's great to, you know, in my off time, which is off from the show.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I do. So I've got a show this Friday in Ashwaubenon. Sunday, I'm in Reedsburg, Wisconsin, doing my summer stories at their Performing Arts Center. So I've been doing that since we wrapped up season three of John McGivern's Main Streets. And now it's the calm before the storm because we start shooting again in 2 weeks.
What is that like? Are you just shooting has got to be insane.
Well, it's one of those things where you know, the beginning of the season, which is going to be May 8th for us, it's like, you know, we're ready. Here we go. We've got 13. We always do 13 episodes, which means we're out of town for 13 weeks over the course of the summer. We start in May. We go through usually the middle or the end of September. And this show, unlike Around the Corner with John McGivern, which was Wisconsin-centric, we are now traveling to six states, all of those states that surround us. So in the beginning, you know, 4 years ago, when we concepted this show, it was like, this will be so great to go, you know, to go across the borders. And now I'm like, we got to go to Michigan? Oh, Lord, here we go. But it's been great, and we're beginning our fourth season of this show. So when people say, we like your new show, it's like, huh?
I know. I said that. I was like, because Around the Corner was on so long, I still think of this as a new show. But I remember talking to Lois, your producer, like 4 years ago, and she's like, oh, we're gearing up for the show. But it seems like yesterday.
You know, you were one of my last interviews.
Oh, really? Because it went so horribly?
They were like, no more, you're done.
Cancel him, yeah.
What was with Schwabba?
That's not even a real name. How did he get on the show?
What?
So what do you prefer, John? You like you're so good on camera, and I imagine you're great in front of a live audience. As a performer, what do you prefer, live or on tape, as they say?
You know, I love the fact that my career has really, you look at it and you even look at my work life now and I'm old and people are like, you're still working? It's like, I do PBS. So it's kind of great. Like I'm young on PBS. So, but it's like my work life is seasonal. So, you know, I do this. I do, you know, I for 2-3 years, I wrote for not only the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, but Milwaukee Magazine. So I've right. got my partner, Steve, and I have a business where we own condos in the same building we live in. And those are corporate rentals. So there's a season with that as well. And it just seems wow. that I've really kind of made it so that my life is as seasonal as our weather is. And I love that.
That's so. Pretty good.
But I prefer the spontaneity and the sort of like instant gratification that stage does. You know, I work alone. I go on stage for an hour and a half, an hour, 20 minutes. And what happens between an audience and I mean, you know what it's like to do something yeah. live and to be out there. And I prefer that because, you know, you go and you shoot something and you wonder what the edit's going to be like, how right. it's going to end up looking and what, when you end up watching it a year later, it's like, God, I was chubby. You know, it's like, what was going on? What was I thinking?
You know, here's the thing, John, you can't even put on weight on radio now because everything people are watching on the stream and it's like people are watching the radio. So you got to stay in shape no matter what medium, you know, unless you're like a book author or something. So I feel you.
Well, last season, though, I'm going to tell you where I'm at with it, because last season I saw a few of the episodes before we aired, and we started airing at the end of January. So at the end of December, Lois, you know, I've been working with my producer, the executive yeah. producer and the director
great,
and
yeah.
co-creator of both shows, Around the Corner and Main Streets. She sent me a couple of finished episodes and she said, take a look. And I was like, oh, what is going on? So since December, I have dropped 40 pounds.
Whoa.
40 pounds. And, I'm at the point now where people, this is what people say to me. Did you get a haircut? It's like,
no, I have liposuction. What are you talking about? Haircut. Yeah. Exactly. Wow. Good for you.
So, it's funny because you do this media stuff and you really have to watch it and be like, ah, Lord, look at this is how I pay my rent.
I know. You can't even like, you know, I used to think everybody on TV or you read like the gossip magazines. Oh, what a diva. What a diva. I saw a post of myself on this show and I was lit horribly. I'm like, take that down now. It's like, I know I'm out of shape, but I'm not that bad.
Come on.
Hey, John, how are the two shows different? Around the Corner in Main Streets? They sound similar, but did you have to make adjustments between shows?
We did. You know, we talked about that we wanted something different. You know, it was ceremoniously awful, the ending of Around the Corner. You know, the pandemic happened.
Yeah.
We got news that they weren't going to do it anymore. And we were told that they owned the trademark to what we were doing and that we couldn't go out and do what we were doing. So we kind of had to, you know, look at what we did and realize that we wanted to continue doing what we did, but we had to do it in a different way. So we don't have, you know, our historian is not John Gerda. My brother is not doing 30, you know, a minute of sports. We can't end the show with the mayor doing his 30 seconds like that. That was, we were told that we could not do that.
Wow. And,
so the first season that we went out there and the responsibility of most of the history and all of the stand-ups and all of the interviews rested on my shoulders. And I believed that that was going to be great. So if you watch season one by the 13th episode, it's like, poor McGivern doesn't look happy. You
know? That's impossible.
A little bit. So in between, when we had our post-mortem of the season with the whole crew and all of the producers, I said, I don't know if I want to do this. I'm at an age where maybe I don't have to. And they were like, why? And I'm like, it was too much work. So if you've noticed, since season one, we have a co-host who is Emmy Fink, who is brilliant. Uh-huh. And the audience loves her. She was TV ready the moment she came in. And she's taken a lot of the sort of weight off my shoulders. And it's a much easier sort of workload now.
Oh,
so
fantastic.
She does the history. She does a couple stand-ups. She does, we do an interview together. She's always like, do you want me to do a couple interviews? I'm like, shut up, Emmy. No, you're not doing what? Now she wants to do the show. It's like,
John, I got this. Take a powder. Yeah.
Exactly.
That, by the way, is the voice of John McGivern. He is my guest right now on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. He is the host of Main Streets on PBS, the former host of Around the Corner. And you can see him this Friday night, April 26th, here in the Green Bay area, if you're listening in Green Bay, at the Ashwaubenon Performing Arts Center, an evening with John McGivern. And I promise you, it will be very entertaining. John is a really fun guy to listen to. And you've got stories. How did you, you've done a lot of different things in show business, John. How did you break in? And what was your plan when you started? And are you where you wanted to be, or have you segued somewhere?
You know, it's funny because I was a stage actor forever. And, you know, I kept waiting for directors to believe that I was the one who could fill a role best. So I was living in Chicago and auditioned for a show called Sheer Madness, which, if you know the history,
yeah,
it's the longest running show, no matter where they set up. Their show, it played in Boston for 35 years.
Good Lord.
It's been at the Kennedy Center for the last 22 years. I auditioned in Chicago and ended up, I played the young cop. That's how long ago it was. And from the young cop, I took the role, the lead role of a guy named Tony Whitcomb, who was a gay hairdresser who owned the salon where a murder took place upstairs.
Right.
And from then, I did a good job with them. And they sent me to open the show in St. Paul, in Portland, San Francisco at the Kennedy Center. So no matter what I wanted, if I was ever out of work, I could always call them and they'd say, well, do you want to go to San Francisco for a 3-month sit down there? And it was really kind of like such an actor's dream that I had this back pocket show that I could do at my whim, where it was like, and so that really helped. And in 1993, as I stated, I was working, doing Sheer Madness at the Blackstone in Chicago. And one of the guys who was in the show was also producing a theater festival, an all-gay theater festival in Chicago at the Bailiwick Theater. And he said, those stories that you tell backstage, you really, really should tell on stage. So I wrote this show called Midwest Side Story. And it premiered at that festival. And the second night that I did it, Comedy Central was in the house.
Oh, wow.
And 2 weeks later, I was shooting a special called Out There Too, which was an all-gay special on Comedy Central. And it was the, you know, second only all-gay special ever to be on television. And from then, I kind of moved to Los Angeles and got an agent and got work out of town doing a lot of theater stuff and a lot of, you know, comedy.
That's
clubs.
So great. What years were you in LA, John? I wonder if we were there at the same time.
94 through 2001.
Okay. Yeah, there's a little overlap there. Boy, it must be nice to have a gig you can go back to. I'm still scared to quit my paper out. I just keep it in case and, you know how it goes. No, but Sheer Madness. I remember when I got to DePaul University, that was everywhere on every billboard, every, you know, staple. You've won Emmys too. How cool is that? You've got six Emmys, John.
Six of them. The first one was for a show that PBS, they wanted my stage show. We shot it. It was called The Early Stories of John McGivern. And it played in 12 PBS markets. And it was my stage show that Lois, my now, you know, as I said, I've worked with her for 15 years. She produced that special. We thought we would do it on stage. And she said, I have a better idea. Let's do these stories at the location that they happened. So we did it on the front porch of the house that I grew up in on the east side of Milwaukee. We did it at St. Peter and Paul Grade School in my first grade class. We did it at St. Lawrence Seminary in Mount Calvary, Wisconsin, which is where I went to high school. So we did my childhood stories on location, turned it into an hour and 20 minute special. And that was my first Emmy. The other five are for my work on Around the Corner and Main Streets.
All right. My guest is John McGivern. We got a few more minutes coming up with him next. I'm going to ask him what his favorite Wisconsin town was to visit. That's next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE. Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute with a couple quick thoughts about boosting your credit score. The most important thing you can do is paying your bills on time. But I've got a way you can make your payments even on timer. Each month, set up not one, but two evenly spaced automatic payments so that your credit balance is always as low as possible. You're not gonna pay more, you're just paying the same amount in two smaller hits to keep the card's overall balance low. This guarantees that whenever the credit bureaus check in on how much credit you're using, they're gonna see you using an almost ridiculously low amount of your credit limit. The bureaus like this and they bump up your credit score. So set that extra auto payment up each month and let's give your credit score a boost. Okay, folks, that was your Work Money Minute. Go to workmoney.org for more tips or text MONEY to 88285. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying take good care.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. Coming up in hour number two, we talk yacht rock. It's basically a new genre of music, and it is sweeping the country, and you are going to want to hear my interview with Philly Ocean from Yachtly Crew. That's coming up, and they do original songs, too, so that'll be fun. My guest right now from PBS and the show Main Streets is John McGivern. He is performing this Friday night. If you're listening, we're on statewide, but if you're listening in the Green Bay area, he is performing Friday night at the Ashwaubenon Performing Arts Center. It's an evening with John McGivern. John, are there still tickets available?
There are. Yeah.
Oh, perfect. Okay. Yeah. I mean, not perfect. You want ultimately you want them all to be gone, but you know.
Not a lot.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. So you can still get tickets. I promise you it will be a really entertaining evening. So you were saying the other five Emmys you got, John, was that all from PBS work?
It was. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's, man. You got them visible there on your shelves? If you turn your camera, can we see the Emmys or no?
I don't. I have them right when you walk in my front door because that's the kind of affirmation I need.
That's great. So, hey, you were also in a movie called The Princess Diaries. That's pretty good credit. What was that like?
It was great. You know, Gary Marshall, who directed that, came to see Sheer Madness in San Francisco and waited after and said, I'm shooting a movie here and I want you to be a part of it, which was so great. So there was no audition. There was no sort of like, did your agent call? And we shot it in San Francisco and then we shot a scene in Los Angeles. I played Bruce McIntosh, the trolley car operator. She crashed into my trolley and then knighted me Lord of the Rose, Julie Andrews. And as a gay guy, I couldn't have been more excited. Just like, it was like, oh my God, I'm working with Julie Andrews. It was the best.
That is really cool.
First movie. So,
oh man.
Yeah.
Isn't that great? Would you just kind of luck into something? Not luck. Yeah. I mean, you earned it, but it just sort of fell into your lap, so to speak. Those are the great, great moments, I think, too.
It was great. And he was kind. So he's a legend.
I mean, Gary Marshall, the Desert Inn Has Heart, right? From Lost in America. He's like one of my favorite. That's one of my favorite scenes in the film. But love Gary Marshall.
There we go.
And I love John McGivern. And he's here. And I'm going to ask you, John, I'm going to put you on the spot. You've been everywhere in Wisconsin, pretty much.
Yeah.
What aside from Marinette? What is your favorite area you visited when you were doing either show?
You know, it's hard to say. I'll tell you a few. You know, it's usually the one we're working in that week is kind of how it works for me. I'm like, oh my Lord, this is the best. You know, we did Galena, Illinois, the season two of Main Streets, and Galena was something that if people haven't visited, they should. We did Sheboygan Falls. And around the corner, and I'm telling you, it was one of my favorite episodes.
Really?
It's the most quaint, beautiful Cream City brick downtown and just screams of history. I De Pere we shot. I loved De Pere. I had no idea that it was two towns that call themselves one. It's like on either side of the river, and it's like, oh, you're kidding me. So that they... Are they both called De Pere? And they're like, it is De Pere, you idiot. It's like, come on. They have a great candy shop. They have a beautiful coffee roaster there that is named a coffee after our show. And it's
nice.
It's good. Yeah. So DePere was great. I loved it.
Oh, that's so cool. If you had, okay. So if someone was going to visit Wisconsin, John, and said, I can only see one thing. Given your knowledge of our state, where would you tell them to go? What would you tell them to see?
Probably Madison. Yeah, you know, last week's episode was Madison, Wisconsin, and we did State Street from the Capitol to the campus. And I just think Madison is really, we have an incredible Capitol building that people need to just take a walk around. And the campus of UW is remarkable, and State Street needs to be experienced.
It absolutely does. I go there about once a month, and I never tire ever of walking State Street between the Capitol and Bascom Hill. It's just, it's a gem. That's a great answer. So
we have a great episode coming up this week. It's the last episode of the season, and it's called A Visit to Clipsville. And it's all the behind the scenes. It's a half hour of outtakes and behind the scenes and how we make the show. We shot it in Plum Studio, and Emmy and I, we love doing it. And I saw it just a couple of weeks ago, and I think it's really, it tells it all. It tells how that, you know, how the stuff is made. So I'm excited about it. And that's Thursday night on every PBS station at 7 o'clock in the state of Wisconsin. And we're in 23 markets around the Midwest.
Wow. Yeah. I remember hearing a stat that your show was the most viewed show on PBS, and it's not even on nationwide. That's incredible. That's so many eyes on your show. That's amazing.
We were like, wait, what?
Yeah.
We're the number one show on Thursday nights on any PBS station or market in the country. We were like, you've got to be kidding. And so that was around the corner, and Main Streets just got that the last like 5 weeks.
Oh, so fantastic. So you take that article in with you when you renegotiate your contract, I assume?
What's your point, Pete?
How much do you need? I want in on this, John. I'm in. I don't care a pyramid scheme. Okay, so John, one more thing for you. What we do on the show is we talk about movies and TV we're watching, whether it's binge watching, cringe watching, whatever. When you're not filming your awesome TV shows, what does John McGivern watch and what can you recommend?
You know what we just finished? My partner and I just finished, and you're going to be like, wait, what? Were you in a cave, Mr. Man? We just finished Breaking Bad.
Oh, hey, that's great.
We watched Saul first, and we were like, oh, my God, it's so good. But Breaking Bad, I think when it started, we watched a couple, and we were like, too much. And now we just finished 3 nights ago. We finished the last episode.
I'm kind of envious that you started with Saul, which is a prequel. And most people didn't do it that way. And what I was going to say to you is you're not late to the party because there's so much content on now. You can't possibly keep up. So the fact that you saw it at all was really cool. Hey, this was so much fun tonight, John. Thank you for your time, buddy. It's great to see you again, and continued success, and kick some butt. Blow the roof off the dump on Friday, will you?
Thanks, Pete. I really appreciate it. Good to see you. Have a great night.
That's John McGivern from Main Streets on PBS. You can catch John this Friday night at the Ashwaubenon Performing Arts Center. It's an evening with John McGivern, April 26th, Friday. Check him out. He is just a joy to watch, whether it's on TV or live, and just a great all-around guy. So when we come back, we're going to read your texts and find out what you guys are saying when it comes to the worst or best last. Oh, I should have asked John while we had him, Conrad.
He probably would have said good ending is Breaking Bad then.
Probably. All right. We'll do that next time. But we're going to come back, read your texts. We're going to hear something from Yachtly Crew, and then we'll talk to them and find out more about this craze that we call Yacht Rock. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here comes my baby. Here she comes now. And it comes as no surprise to me with another guy. Here comes my baby.
News from the Center, WRCE. Civic Media.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
In honor of National Cheeseball Day, what food totally disgusts you? For me, it's anything where cheese is crammed together and soft. Why you would put it all into a ball or a log or a loaf, I don't understand. What about you, Conrad? You got a disgusting food?
I like tuna. It just can't be from in a can. It just has the worst smell of me. I just think it's nasty.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Tennessee's solution to school shootings? Authorized teachers to pack heat. Lawmakers on Tuesday approving it.
Amid protests and after a heated debate.
Rename this bill the Refusal to Protect Kids in Schools Act. Because that's exactly what you all are doing.
Lawmakers in Tennessee have approved a bill allowing certain teachers.